a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice.
He's on fire.
It's impossible.
Posey will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
And welcome to a special Thanksgiving episode of the Razzball Basketball Podcast. It is Tuesday, November 25th, 2014. I am here with Slim, and how was your weekend, Slim?
Oh, it was phenomenal as a, you know, Gators fan and a Dolphins fan. It was just phenomenal.
What'd the Gators do? I don't follow college football that well.
They lost.
They lost their coach, too. Is that a good or bad thing?
No, they didn't lose. They played nobody, but still. It's not a good time to be a football fan down here in South Florida.
Yeah, tough one against the Broncos there. All right, we've got to get straight into it. We've got a huge jam-packed show. Unfortunately, this is our only podcast this week due to the Thanksgiving holiday and scheduling. But want to thank everyone for listening and hope everyone has a happy and safe Thanksgiving with their families this Thursday. Want to thank all the Fantasy Sports Network listeners this week. We're going to recap big news over the weekend, some injuries, some big games. Then we've got Adam Leviton. Is it Leviton? Leviton? What do you think, Slim? Leviton?
Leviton sounds right.
Leviton. We've got Adam Leviton on later in the show with an interview with just him and I. He is a writer for Roto World and also our Yahoo friends and family opponent. We're going to go through quickly through a little bit of the RCL leagues, make our 30-point challenge picks, and then talk movies, since this is our only show of the weekend. As you can tell, we're jam-packed, and we're going to start with Kevin Martin and a fractured wrist. Womp womp ba da. Oh. Out 6 to 8 weeks, surgery. You dropping Kevin Martin everywhere?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. We did in the Friends and Family, a league that's weekly. And, you know, you have guys on your bench that you're not playing. We still dropped them.
Well, with Rubio already down, we weren't going to drop Rubio.
That too. So
we needed somebody.
We got Timberwolved, that's for sure. Yikes. Is Corey Brewer a must-own in 12-er leagues?
Yeah, I mean, in my REL, it's looking great. I've got Brewer and Wiggins. But, yeah, I picked up Brewer where I could.
You know, 10 steals.
The upside is too high.
10 steals the last three games, given one of them was a 6-steal game. Wish he was hitting threes, you know, only 0.2 threes a game, only has 2 threes on the season through 12 games. You know, last year was at 0.7, the year before 1.1. He's not a great shooter, but chipping in a little bit there seems to help. His free throw percentage is at a high actually, it's at the highest volume of his career. And the percentage is down a little bit. That's a little bit skewed by going 4-for-8 the last game. But, yeah,
the minutes have been weird. It's not like this is a consistent role he's been in this year, which he should be now.
Yeah, totally agree. Look at his minutes, 29, 32, 30, the last three. So, yeah, I think Brewer's a must-own as well. I mean, he's a double-digit scoring in 5 of the last 6 and 6 of the last 8. You know, so he's going to chip in some points, get a couple boards. The assists have been there, multi-assists in 6 straight. Obviously, the big steals are what you really want him for. So, yeah, I agree with you there. And then to Wiggins, man. And this is what I've been telling to people that are hesitant to drop Kevin Martin. This might be Wiggins' show by the time Martin gets back. Took 22 shots a couple games ago against the Kings. Had a career-high 29 points for a ridiculous line. 29, 5, 2, 4 steals, 1 block. 9 of 10 free throws, 2 of 4 from deep. How excited are Wiggins owners right now?
41 minutes, so there's that. But, yeah, it was his show, and he performed beautifully. One turnover.
Well, yeah, one turnover. I mean, he had a 5-turnover game a couple ago, but other than that, turnovers haven't been too bad for him being a rookie and getting a ton of minutes. I don't know. If there's any chance you can get Wiggins now, I might try to do it, but the price tag's going to be astronomical, probably.
Yeah, you might want to wait for a dud and then throw out that offer.
Yeah, and speaking of duds, the Pelicans, what are you doing? Starting Darius Miller Oh, so Eric Gordon separates his shoulder. Actually has a torn labrum, so that's probably going to cost him at least most of the year, you'd assume. Going to play Miller at the three and move Tyreek Evans down to the two. So if you picked up Austin Rivers, I still think he might get, you know, 30-ish minutes, but not going to be starting.
I feel so bad for Gordon.
Yeah. He's just
had an opportunity to have a full career, a full year.
He, you know, it's not the knees. It's not the knees this time. Now it's the shoulder. Rough go of it for Eric Gordon.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I feel bad for him. I was really hoping, even if it wasn't at, you know, his full, like he used to, his potential was, you know, coming into the league, I was still hoping he would go healthy this year.
Yeah, so
he deserved it. He had to come back from so much.
Mm-hmm. So rough for Eric Gordon. To Austin Rivers, I mean, even in bigger minutes, I mean, you know, last game against the Jazz a few games ago, played 33 minutes, still was a very boring 8-3-2-1-0 with a couple threes. I mean, I think that's about what you can expect is, you know, 10-ish points, a couple boards, maybe three assists, hit a three every now and then. I don't know. I really had a tough time telling anyone in 12ers to get Austin Rivers.
No, best case scenario, yeah, it doesn't really say too much. I mean, maybe a 15-3-3, is that with a steal?
Yeah, that's even high end for me. I mean, he had a really good run, was it last year, I think, when Drew Holiday was down and they gave him a lot of starting minutes. I'm pulling up what he did in... as a starter, but I mean, Drew Holiday would have to be hurt again for him to get this kind of usage. In April last year, 30 minutes, had 12 points, 4.5 boards, 4.6 assists, a steal a game, and a three a game, and that was his best run of his career. So, yeah, I just the upside is not going to be there. I told people he's going to be more KCP-ish than someone said, could he be kind of Danny Green-ish, minus the blocks. And I said, no, more KCP, just kind of camping out behind the three-point line.
Yeah, the blocks kind of make Green even ownable, because he's pretty bad without him.
Yeah. So, Austin Rivers, don't get your hopes up too high yet. But we'll see how the rotations pan out.
Yeah, in a deep league, I would definitely go for a 16-team. Anything with like 200 players owned, I would go for it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Even 14-teamers that need any sort of upside for minutes, I think he's a grab there. But for shallower than that, tough to say to go get him. Two-year Heat, Dwayne Wade still is out with the hamstring, but Norris Cole's going to be back tonight. Are you selling Mario Chalmers with the value as high as it is right now?
Oh, yeah. It's never going to be this high. It never has been. He's playing out of his mind. Yes, it's a sell high.
Was last week Mario Chalmers' best week?
I'm sure.
Because it's awesome when that happens, when you go against him in the REL League, 20-team league, and have Chalmers have his career week.
Yeah, well,
I'm not bitter
with Wade in his lineup, so yeah, it goes both ways.
Yeah, that's true. So, yeah, I mean, what could you sell Chalmers for right now?
You can get a point guard with a reliable job, a Teague-ish. I'd go for that.
I'm trying to think of some other good examples. Would you trade him for Jeremy Lin?
I don't believe in Lin. Lin needs Kobe to go down to be good.
Yeah, who else is kind of in that range? Would you trade him for Roten?
I don't want Roten.
Yeah, I'd probably take Chalmers there too. But I mean, that you know, and Chalmers playing like a top whatever, like 20 guy the past couple weeks. If you can get someone, you know, he's still going to be good. But if you can get someone in the Teague range, you definitely do it.
Yeah, it's possible that when Wade comes back, Chalmers stays the starting point guard, too. It's not like there's somebody that's going to take his job that's particularly doing well.
Yeah, very true. He's played well enough to have retaken that starter's role when everyone's healthy. Speaking of unhealthy guys, Carmelo Anthony has back spasms. Trying to carry the team too much. Apparently was in a lot of pain. Still traveling with the team. but might miss tomorrow's game. I don't know. I said that if J.R. Smith gets a start and there's no Melo, he might take 30 shots.
I think this is going to be a Schumper game. I think he's going to try to take all those shots, try to be, you know, prove he's worth something.
His haircut's worth whatever he wants to do. That flat top's amazing. But yeah, definitely keep your eye out for Carmelo's update. I mean, it's on a big slate of Wednesday, so you probably have a full lineup. You can take him out if he's not going to play. But something to keep an eye on there.
Long term, I have no idea what this is going to do.
Yeah, me either. I mean, if this lingers, whew, I mean, you can't. I don't think you should sell Melo right now, but definitely something scary. And scary for power forwards that were kind of the elite guys in the draft through the first two rounds in general. Man, Kevin Love and Blake Griffin have just been awful lately. So guess how many blocks Kevin Love has on the season?
I mean, he's total. Never really a shot blocker. I mean,
I know, but
through how many games? Like 10 to 12, we'll say 12 games?
Through 13 games.
Yes. Oh, that's close. I don't know. Five?
Yeah, he has 3 blocks. And guess how many threes he has in the past 4 games?
I know how many he should have.
Yeah, I know.
No, I know it's bad. He probably only has like 1 a game.
Yeah, he has 2 threes in the past 4 games. Didn't hit a single three in 3 of the past 4. He's got 6 threes in the past 7 games. He's just not taking them. You know, the three-point game just isn't there. And even though his three-point attempts are way down from last year, he's still only shooting 40% from the floor. You know, the high-volume free throws is what's keeping Love afloat. But he's just really sinking fast. The rebounds are way down. The assists are way down.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. And that high-volume free throw is not as high-volume as it needs to be for a first-round pick. That's only 5 a game. That's not enough.
Yeah, 4.2 for 5 a game. Last year was at 6.8 for 8.2. I mean, this is just a catastrophic fall off. And applaud Slim, everyone. If you listen to Slim and avoided Love this year, do you remember someone chastising us for taking Millsap over Love in the friends and family comments? Saying, oh, you can just get Love and trade him mid-season and you'd get more value that way.
I do recall that.
That was wrong.
I think I remember saying I'm not sure if anyone would ever trade their second round pick for him. And right now, there's no second round pick he's worth.
You're not trading your third round pick for him.
No, you're really not. I mean, it's got to get somewhat better because it really can't get worse.
Yeah, I mean, I got to expect that they'll let him start taking more threes later. I mean, he's only taken 8 threes in the past 3 games. Or past 4 games, only 8 attempts. Only 0-for-1 from deep for the past 2 games. You got to expect that comes back a little bit, but I mean, he's just a 0 in steals and blocks. And I don't know. I think you got to ride it out. There's no way I'm selling him at this value right now. I think you got to just try to hope it turns around. But someone I would try to sell right now, and it's someone we talked about Blake Griffin last week and kind of said, you know, not really much you can do. But right now, I am selling as fast as I can, especially off last night's line of 22, 16, and 9. You look at that, and you're like, ooh, he's back to being Blake. But he is a three-cat player right now. Shot 10 of 13 from the field, which is fine. But he's at 47% field goal percentage, down from 52.8, 53.8, 54.9 the past 3 years. I mean, that's a precipitous fall-off. His free throw percentage is still under 70% in a fairly high volume. The rebounds are down 2 a game. You know, still gives you 4 assists. You like that. But he's a negative in turnovers. He's a negative in steals. He's a negative in blocks. He's a really high-end 3-cat player right now.
Dude, I'm way behind. How do you spell that? It's raining on who? I don't know what's happening. Yeah, no, it's not good. I'm trying to think of who I could trade him for, but who's going to give up? You know, maybe you can get Noah for him. You know, Noah hasn't been too good, but what are you gaining? I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah, there was someone asking, you know, someone got offered Griffin for Aldridge. Taking Aldridge all day nowadays.
Yeah, we had him before. There's no reason to think anything's changed there.
Yeah, and Aldridge is chipping in a three every now and then. You know, Aldridge had a six-block game. Blake Griffin has four blocks on the year. So, I mean, we talked about this a second right before we hopped on the air. Blake Griffin's a high-end Lance Stephenson right now.
That's a really bad comparison. Like, not a positive thing.
I know. I mean, it's just wild how bad he's been. Now, to be fair, let's go to Lance Stephenson, who, you know, after that really hot start, has really started cooling off. The rebounds, you know, fallen way off. He was at, you know, double-digit boards to start the year almost every game. Then had a zero-board game, and since then, 6-8-5-6 for rebounds. The assists are still there, 5.5 assists a game, but he's also kind of a three-cat guy. Can't hit a three to save his life. Is hitting 21% from deep and taking 2.2 a game. That's got to stop. 1-for-6 threes last night. And because of that, got benched down the stretch. You know, so only actually, that was two nights ago that he was 1-for-6 from deep. But, man, I mean, he got benched in the middle of the third quarter and didn't come back in the game. And the Hornets played Brian Roberts next to Kemba. Oh.
Yeah, there's nothing to like about these lines he's putting up.
Ugh.
That whole 10, 5, and 7 thing is not pretty.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else that's, or 10, 7, and 5. There's nothing else that, it's so bad.
Yeah, like I said.
You're watching these games, right? And you're
no, I mean, I would, but they're blacked out on my iPad. I have to watch some crazy channel when I'm home, and I watch basketball when I'm not at home a lot. But yeah, last night, 1-for-8 shooting from the field, 0-for-1 from deep. Shocker there. 3-3-6 is his line. Only one turnover is fine, but man, if you're going to get benched for Brian Roberts, and I mean, Gary Neal got hurt in this game with a shoulder contusion. No Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, no PJ Hairston, you know, no Jeffrey Taylor still because of his buffoonery off
the
court.
And they lose again?
Yeah, they lost again. They lost by 20.
Six in a row now? That's not good.
The Hornets are terrible. It's a terrible team. Lance Stephenson was a terrible buy. You know, he needs to just play defense and not shoot the ball. But he can't really do that right now because of, you know, I don't know. They need to just feed Al Jefferson the ball. He needs to be taking 25 shots a game.
That's what they were doing last year.
Yeah, only 7-for-14 last night. I mean, that's not enough shots for him. He needs.
Well, they had. I mean, they were hoping that they were getting a efficient 49%.
I love how you had to laugh while saying it.
Well, no one believed he was that kind of shooter. I mean, you can't shoot 20-footers. Well, okay. Some people can. If we're going to call him Dirk, then we can call him Dirk, but he is not.
Yeah. So, I mean, is Lance Stephenson droppable in 10-team leagues?
Nah, he's a throw-in and a trade to make it happen, though.
Yeah. I don't know. If I'm in a 10-team league and my team is rolling right now and I need some immediate value, I mean, there's some really good guys available in tenors. Like, you'd rather have Giannis, obviously. I've seen he's still available on some wires. You know, I don't know. I think there might be some good option in the really shallow leagues if you're still holding on to Stephenson.
I mean, you're going to have to replace those assists.
Yeah, that's true. But
it's kind of annoying, but that's it. Everything else is real easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
It's not difficult to find a 60% free throw shooter.
I think I could hit that. speaking of bad free throws, did you see what Ian Mahimi did last night? He was 0-for-6 from the free throw line.
No, I don't really catch myself tuning into too many Pacer games.
I watched a lot because Donald Sloan had the big 29 points, but ugh, it was, and they benched Mahimi down the stretch for LaVoy Allen. So I still like Mahimi for tomorrow against the Spurs. They've got some bad center defense, but just want to throw that in there. So to the Bulls.
You know, I kind of like what LaVoy Allen's been doing.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. I mean, I'd still rather Mahimi for streams right now, but in really deep leagues, LaVoy Allen's been playing some power forward as well.
Yeah.
I think he's
He's at 7-7 with a block. You know, this is a really deep league. You'd need him in, but yeah, that's very playable.
Yep. And guys that are playable right now, back on the court, Derrick Rose and Pau Gasol. You know, Gasol played really well, got a rainbow line, 23-9-4-3-2. He seems fine there, but Derrick Rose plays 25 minutes and comes out of the game gimpy, and Tom Thibodeau's whining after the game that he's still hurt. Woo!
Day-to-day, why is he playing?
Day-to-day still... Rose.
No, it's just... Yeah, you got to get rid of him.
Yeah.
If someone sees that he played, then get rid of him as soon as possible.
Yeah, awful to see. I mean, you hate to, you know, lay on to all the stuff that this guy has to go through, but it's just, for fantasy-wise, taking out the human equation, it's just tough to roster this guy. So, you know, for tonight, I think, you know, Gasol coming off the calf injury, playing 37 and a half minutes last night, it's a back-to-back. I think Mirotić gets a lot of run. I watched a good amount of this game last night against the Jazz. Mirotić looked really good. Only 10-5-1 on the stat line with a couple threes, but kind of at the eye level. Looked like a really good player.
Offensively. How about defensively? Against the Jazz, it doesn't take much. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think Trevor Booker took him to town on a post-up at one point. Yeah, actually, now that I remember that post-up, Trevor Booker had a isolation post up, a good 10 feet from the basket, made one little move and had a wide open layup. So yeah, maybe I think you might be right there.
Some room to grow there.
Yeah, for sure. So let's see. Let's talk about my Tony Snell pickup in REL real quick. $37 of my fab. How was that? Was that a little too crazy?
Well, since it was only me and you going for him, it looks like it probably was.
Yeah, in our 20-team dynasty, a guy that we talked about liking all the time. I bid 37. You bid 17, and no one else bid. We should.
I mean, it's nice to see him getting some minutes now, but yeah, those DMPs probably scare people away.
Yeah, I mean, he played pretty well, and he actually played defense and was in the starting five the last minute or so with Dunleavy out, so kind of a defensive sub there.
See, he's never been a high steals guy anywhere. I'm not sure those will really ever come through. I couldn't spend – the 37 you spent is – I don't know. I think
– You can say it. You can say it. Use some choice words for me. I don't mind. I can take it.
Well, I'm predicting – I don't know what he's going to really do.
Yeah.
No, he ain't Jimmy Butler, let's say that.
Yeah, well, and, you know, this is a dynasty where any fab pickup is a dollar. I mean, I think in a year or two, Snell's going to be starting somewhere else.
Oh, for sure. He deserves a starting role. He's better than half the players that are – I mean, I look at the Heat, and the Heat could use him so bad right now.
Yeah, the Pelicans might pick him up. You know,
that would be really useful.
Yeah, with
but he's got to wait out this contract. It's going to be a while.
Yeah, that's for sure. So, more a future ad for me. So we got to run through some stuff pretty quick here. Patrick Beverley might miss more than 4 games with his latest hamstring issue. That's according to Kevin McHale, who said this stint might be longer. Isaiah Cannon's going to get some starts, but he's pretty terrible. James Harden puts up 36 last night. Harden might average 35 points for the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I don't. There's no reason to pick up Cannon anywhere.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Not even in the REL. Did you know he's available in the REL? Because I dropped him.
Yeah, but those waivers cleared before.
Yeah, before this latest news.
Yeah, I don't think I would have anyway. There's no upside.
Yeah, Chris Humphreys might get a couple starts here. He's been playing really well off the bench in little minutes anyway. Nene's got some plantar fascia issues and might miss a couple games. I think I'm picking up Chris Humphreys in all leagues where I can.
Yeah, it'll probably wind up being very short term, but
yeah,
if I can play him tonight, then yeah, I'll drop, you know, pretty much any streamer I'm using.
Yeah, I'd drop like a Cayman for him, you know, something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure.
Cool.
Ed Davis is a little bit odd. I don't know what's going on there with him and Boozer yet.
Yeah, both of them a little banged up. I like Ed Davis still. I think he's still going to get pretty good minutes. And even when he's on the bench, he's been pretty consistent.
Yeah, that last showing was pretty bad.
Yeah, got a start finally and fouled out in 20 minutes or something like that. I think it was in like 22 minutes or something. So, anything else tickle your fancy? Anything else?
Saw some Brandon Jennings.
Had a thumb issue.
Yeah, it looks like he might not be playing tonight.
DJ Augustine time.
Yeah, he could have a big game with big minutes.
Yeah, if you can make daily moves right before lineup set, keep your eye on that and maybe stream Augustine tonight.
This one doesn't look good. Rudy Gay out.
Oh, is it the Achilles again? I didn't see that yet.
Yep, that's what they're saying.
Yikes. I don't know. Who's the big benefactor there? Caspi?
I'm not even going to say the other guy's name.
What, Derek Williams?
It's not a basketball player's name.
It is not.
Sounds like a middle linebacker out of, I don't know, Texas? I don't know.
The Texas, I don't know. That's their
name. Well, there's, come on, Derek Williams. How many Derek Williams do you think there are?
Way too many.
Not an uncommon name.
And yeah, both the Kings point guards were questionable last I saw, Sessions and Collison. So Kings a little banged up.
Yeah, maybe roll some Omri Caspi out, see what happens. He's been getting some minutes at both forward spots, so
yeah,
he can fill in real nice. Maybe that happens.
Anything else you want to hit on? It's going to be a week till we talk next. Forever hold your peace.
From this well, we're still talking past right now. We haven't flipped to future yet.
Yeah. So, well, let's get Adam Levitin. We'll figure out if I'm saying his name right on the phone.
No, I've got something else. I think it's actually probably Leviathan. I think that's how I would tell people I pronounce it.
Leviathan. Yeah. It sounds like Leviathan.
Yeah. See, that's what I would go with.
All right. So let's get him on the phone. And joining us on the Razzball Basketball Podcast is Adam from Roto World, and we had a little debate with my co-host. Is it Levitin? Is that how you pronounce your last name?
Levitan, like you went to the beach and you got tan.
Got a Levitan. I'm a very pale dude. I could use a Levitan. We're debating if you've ever told anyone to pronounce it Leviathan.
like a biblical type thing?
Yeah, might be a stretch, but would be pretty funny. So yeah, you're our opponent in the Yahoo Friends and Family League this week. You're a writer for Roto World. So tell us a little bit how you got into fantasy, what you do for Roto World, and why you enjoy fantasy so much.
Yeah, well, first I see I'm out to a 7-2 lead this week, so that's good to start. Yeah, you know, I always played fantasy as long as I can remember. I was the one that organized like the March Madness pool when I was in seventh grade, which was before there was even the internet. So I used to cut the March Madness bracket out of the newspaper, make copies for everybody in school, and collect them and mark them and collect money and everything. I don't know. I always loved that kind of thing. Then I guess my claim to fame, right, when I was a freshman in college, this was year 2000, and fantasy was popular. It wasn't like the most popular thing in the world, though, like it is now. And there was about 100,000 people playing on ESPN, and I ended up winning the overall title, and they gave me a trip to Disney World and all that. So that was kind of my claim to fame. And then I was writing – I was a journalism major at Penn State. I graduated from there in 2004, and I started working for some papers in Philadelphia area, wrote some fantasy stuff, ended up sending some of my stuff to Greg Rosenthal, who was in charge of Roto World at the time. And he gave me a chance to write some stuff for Roto World. And then that was about 7 years ago now. And I've been there ever since.
Awesome. And so are you working with we had Mike Gallagher on a couple weeks ago. Do you guys work together on writing all the player blurbs and all that stuff? Or are you guys?
Sure. Yeah. So I know Mike and Mike's great. Unfortunately, right now I am full time on football. So I write most of the football blurbs, and I have a couple football columns a week. And I do some videos for football. Unfortunately, with the popularity of football, it's kind of all hands on deck there. So Mike's doing a great job for basketball. Hopefully I'll get some basketball exposure once the regular season of football is over, which is coming up sooner than I guess people realize, just 4 or 5 weeks here.
Yeah. So looking at our matchup real quick. Yeah, you had a monster Monday compared to us. You had what looks like six, seven players starting. had a good 11 assists out of LeBron. All your studs went off.
Right. Yeah, so. That's the thing about head-to-head. Like, when I play for, like, any real money for fantasy basketball, I prefer to play, you know, I feel like head-to-head turns into, like, a games-played contest. Like, let's say I play 50 games this week and you play 40. Like, there's almost no chance that you're going to beat me, assuming that, you know, our teams are relatively similar. I don't know if other people feel that same way. I just prefer Roto so much more. I feel like it takes a lot of the variance out of it.
I like head-to-head for basketball, but I'm not a big fan of weekly leagues. The Yahoo Friends and Family is a weekly league. I do like the aspect that it takes a little bit less, you know, grooming as some of the other teams. But, you know, for example, we've got Ibaka this week on two games, and we didn't really have any other better options. It's good that we have Rubio, and it's easier to hold injured guys, but right. I'm with you. I like the head-to-heads where you can do a lot of streaming, and then it gets kind of into the who can make the best waiver wire ads. But going into the draft, you obviously got LeBron first. Did you have any sort of draft strategy beyond, you know, starting with LeBron? And I like that you got Al Horford. He was a big call of mine. He's been a little slow, but I think he'll turn it up.
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, looking back, I probably would have taken Anthony Davis. The reason that I think LeBron was number one for most people was just for durability. I mean, if you told me that Anthony Davis was going to play 82 games, I definitely would have taken Davis, but I'm obviously fine with LeBron. I mean, he's so durable and so good. Yeah, on Horford, I don't think people realize, like, his efficiency numbers, his field goal and free throw and blocks and steals make such a big difference. He's such a good rotisserie player, more than just, you know, 15 points and 10 rebounds or whatever we project him for. So, yeah, when I go into these things, I don't do too much of a strategy. There was a time in my life when I used to play head to head where I used to go into a draft thinking that these are the five categories I want to focus on, but I ended up getting way too skewed with that. So now I just really go for best player available. And then when it gets closer to playoff time, I'll try to manage my team a bit more towards the five categories that we need to advance in the playoffs.
Yeah. Are you worried at all about Cleveland's bad fantasy playoff schedule? I know you're focused on football right now, but Cleveland's got a two-game week in the fantasy playoffs this year. Does that have you concerned at all?
Well, now that you tell me that, I had no idea. Now that you tell me, yes, I am concerned. Which round of the playoffs is that in, the first
I think it's the first. It's the I think the Yahoo Friends and Family is weeks 21 through 23. So the last week of the playoffs is actually the last 10 days of the year. I think he's safe there. I think it's the first week of the playoffs for the Friends and Family. It's a two-game week.
Yeah, well, that's the thing about head-to-head, man. That stinks. That would definitely, if I knew that, I might have even gone for Anthony Davis even more, number one overall in this format.
All you need to do is keep your 18, 15, and 3 right now, get one of those top two spots and have a bye week, and you'll be fine.
Yeah, there we go.
So yeah, well, there's a basketball podcast, but everyone that plays fantasy plays all sorts of other sports. So let's talk a tiny bit of football. I am a begrudgingly a Panthers fan. It's been a rough year, but what do you think about Kelvin Benjamin? So my longtime league is a five keeper league with no penalty. Mm-hmm. It's a full point PPR. It's a two quarterback league. Am I crazy to think about keeping Kaepernick and Russell Wilson just to have the two QBs locked up? And then I'm thinking about keeping Antonio Brown, A.J. Green. Those are no-brainers. And then I'm thinking about keeping Benjamin over Eddie Lacy or Julius Thomas. I know Lacy's been good, but the whole running back position, as you all know, and I mean, I've been playing fantasy football for nearly 15 years, has just completely changed. Am I crazy to want to keep Benjamin over Eddie Lacy in a full PPR?
Yeah, not at all. I mean, I think the best advice that I can give to people in keeper or dynasty is to build around wide receivers. Think about the careers that they have compared to the careers that running backs have. Wide receivers, so much more durable and last so much longer. I mean, you could have Kelvin Benjamin in his prime for the next 10 years, and I think he's just scratching the surface. I mean, I'd be excited if I was a Panthers fan. He only played at Florida State, really, for one full year, kind of burst onto the scene. I think he's still learning to play the position a bit, but you can see that he's kind of unguardable at times. And I've been encouraged by the way Carolina's used him, too. He's made a lot of mistakes, dropped some passes, kind of not run crisp routes at times, but they still keep going back to him and back to him. It's not like a situation with a lot of young players in this league where they make a mistake and they sit him down or they make him sit on the bench, which is so frustrating to a lot of us that follow a lot of these young guys. So Yeah, I think Kelvin Benjamin is a keeper over Eddie Lacy, especially given the way Lacy kind of runs the contact. I know, you know, Marshawn Lynch has been able to sustain health with that style. I'm not sure that's the style that I like for my keeper running backs.
Yeah, and the league, it helps that it's two QB and then four wide receivers plus a flex. So having tons of wide receiver depth has helped there. I don't know. I got to tell you, I do some fantasy football advice, but not in a big way. But my main hitter was get Kelvin Benjamin in all leagues, and I got him in all five of my leagues, and that worked out great. I actually bought his jersey before he even started the season. I got it in the off season.
That's exciting, man.
I was that excited for him. It's tough to replace my Rod Smart jersey as my main Panthers jersey, but
is that he hate me?
Yes, my avatar on Razzball is me in a Rod Smart jersey, and I still own the Rod Smart jersey. So I loved Rod Smart. You know, in one league, I have just a dominant team, except for I have Cam Newton as my quarterback. I had Eli Manning and just could never find a week where I felt great starting him. Obviously, this past week was an easy one with Cam on bye. Which quarterback do you think does better the rest of the way in a 4-point pass TD league?
Yeah, you know, I would play matchups, and I don't have the Giants schedule in front of me, but I do know that the Panthers schedule is really soft down the stretch. I don't love the spot for them at Minnesota this week, but then at New Orleans versus Tampa versus Cleveland the last 3 weeks, I think is a nice spot for Cam to play well. Obviously, he's had a lot of good spots before and not performed, so it's risky. But yeah, really close between Eli and Cam. Obviously, with the emergence of Odell Beckham, I think it's kind of opened things up a lot because Ruben Randle is not a very dependable wide receiver for Eli. So many of Eli's interceptions are targeting Ruben Randle, and like they get confused, and all of a sudden the announcer's saying, well, they weren't on the same page there, and it's a pick six. But that's not the case with Odell Beckham. So I think that does make a big difference for Eli. So if you can, I try to play matchups.
Yeah, I think the Giants this week are against Jacksonville. I think that's right. So
I would definitely go Eli there. I mean, not only is Jacksonville really bad in the secondary, but they're also really banged up at corner and safety right now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do that, and hopefully things go well in that league. And yeah, Odell Beckham, you know, I wish he had hands. This guy can't make any good catches. You know, it's disappointing.
Yeah. So,
what can you do? All right. Well, thanks again for joining us, Adam Levitan. I got it down. And how can we follow you on Twitter and follow your stuff on RotoWorld?
Yeah, just my name, Adam Levitan, all one word. And I link to all my articles, and when I have an interesting blurb that I put up, I usually link to it on my Twitter there too.
Cool. So follow at Adam Levitan. I'm going to tweet the podcast out with him in there if you're interested in following his stuff and taking his fantasy football advice. Thanks again for joining us, and good luck to the rest of the week and you and the Yahoo friends and family. We're off a tough loss. We need a big bounce back this week.
Yeah, well, bad luck to you there, but good luck to you in general.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Thanks again.
All right.
And thanks again for Adam for hopping on the phone with us. Back with Slim here and taking a quick look at the RCL leagues through 4 weeks. Looking like Pops' team is unstoppable with his team of old veterans.
Yeah, that was without Wade, huh?
Without Wade. Without Gasol and without... didn't he have Rose on this team, too? No. I get Wade and Rose confused sometimes. They're always hurt.
You just assume whoever's going to draft Wade is probably going to draft Rose. Kind of make that assumption. But no, this is Team Kobe, not Rose.
Yeah, that's true. We love you, Pop, so we're not making fun of your team.
And besides, this is a good... obviously, it's a good team. Look how good it's doing.
You know, you're beating all the RCL teams, including several Slim and JB teams. So we can't really talk, but... Man, his team's
like big pickup. Picked up Brewer. There you go. Yeah. Ahead of the curve.
Like that there. I like that he has Gorgie. That's obviously one of our favorites. But, yeah, survived the Wade and Gasol injuries to get a 5-4 win and keep the top spot. So, props for Pops right there. And then I want to bring up the number two team is, I don't even, Miko OG79's team?
Oh, man.
I don't know. We'll just call him M's team. So M's team is in second place with a 27-9 record. Shocker has Anthony Davis, and I put out the RCL recap post today. It's up now if you're listening to this. And like half of the top 10 teams have Anthony Davis. Just how unfair is it to have Anthony Davis these days?
Yeah, he doesn't really have any other shot blockers on his team, but he's probably winning blocks every week.
Yeah, I mean,
it lets you it opens up so much more. I mean, you can then start having guys like Randolph, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Bogut's got 21 blocks. That's his second best blocker. Davis has 42. Yeah, well, Bogut should be playing tonight. But I mean, you look at this guy's team. Davis is leading him in steals too, with 26. The only guy even close is Jimmy Butler with 20. I mean, Butler's been a really good player for him, but
Just
it was crazy looking at all of the RCL teams, and a bunch of the number one teams in leagues had Brow. And it's just, I don't know. I put in the RCL post that I think there's a good chance 60% of teams that win their league titles have Brow in redraft leagues.
Yeah, fortunately, he doesn't have one of those ridiculous playoff schedules. So it's going to be fair come playoff time.
Yep. So, I guess that's true, but I don't know. He's just so good.
Well, he's got three games in the semis and three games in the finals, if I remember right. You know, you give like Curry with 4-4 or Harden with 4-4, it at least evens the playing field.
A little bit, but barely.
Oh, that's an extra game. That's no small amount.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and look at the games for tonight. Make our 30-point challenge picks, and I don't know if you remember our picks from last Thursday, but did you see what happened?
No, I just know I didn't get it.
Yeah, well, you picked Jimmy Butler, and that was going to be my pick too, and I was like, nope, you take Butler.
Because I did see what happened. Yeah, came back to the fourth quarter.
I didn't even want Bosch that much, but I was like, he's really the only other option. Puts up 28, like, through, like, barely three-plus quarters, and then couldn't score another bucket. I got the curse of the one basket away that you had the two before. It was wild. We've now gone 7 straight 30-point challenge picks without a winner. So I have two. I actually looked at it a little bit ahead of time. I have two picks for tonight, so I'll let you go first. Looking at the top 10 scorers, Kobe, Brow, Harden, LeBron, Melo, Cousins, Curry, Thompson, Aldridge, and Griffin. Really no surprises there. So pick someone out of the top 10 to put up 30 tonight.
Let's see. Got any obvious injuries out of here on New Orleans? Let's talk about the games first.
All right, we can do that. We'll circle back to our picks. We talked a little bit about the Kings and the Pelicans being banged up. Darius Miller is going to start. Collison and Sessions both questionable. No Gay. I don't think there's any clear winners. I mean, you'd expect Cousins to go absolutely off, but he's a top 10 scorer already. He had a great last week. Such a good matchup.
Brow was real fun to watch, the parts that I did see. So if I can watch more of that game, I think that's going to be the game of the night as far as entertainment factor.
Totally agree there. I think Golden State Miami could be pretty close. You know, Dang's off a good game, but I don't have any faith in him at all. But I think that game could stay close and be entertaining.
It'll be entertaining because both teams will play small ball, it looks like.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, Bogut should be playing, but, you know, it was just an eye bruise. I don't think he'll be, you know, like, limited or anything.
They will not play. The Heat will not play Ennis at shooting guard. It's terrible.
They should.
Heartbreak.
Yeah, they should. Why don't they?
Only backing him up to Dang. I don't know.
They hate him.
What they do is they move Chalmers to the shooting guard when they bring Napier in.
Yeah, Napier's getting a lot more minutes than I expected.
I expected those to be Ennis's minutes.
Yeah. So, then we already mentioned Nene's probably out with the plantar fascia. Chris Humphreys likely the starter. And, Brandon Knight's questionable tonight with quadriceps, which is very, very sad for me and all of my teams since I have Brandon Knight everywhere, it seems like.
Yeah. Against Detroit.
Against his former team.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The Knight versus Jennings on the traded point guards matchup, and both are questionable.
Yeah, well, I think Jennings is more doubtful than questionable.
Oh, okay.
He made a statement that he can't shoot, so that sounds doubtful.
Well, what else is new for Brandon Jennings?
Yeah, I know. He told me something I don't know.
And then, yeah, I put as one of my streamers tonight as Mirotić. Chicago on a back-to-back, as I talked about earlier, going at Denver. You know, you'd expect Chicago to actually have a lead in this game, even though they struggled against Utah. And Gasol playing 37 and a half minutes off a week-long injury. You'd expect Mirotić to get some good run. So, yeah, does that clear the air for your pick? I've got two ready, so if you pick one of mine, I am fine with it.
All right, I'm going OJ. I'm going.
That was awesome.
Yeah, watch him get it too. the worst part.
That'd be hilarious.
Oh, man.
All right.
I'll something happening in that Sacramento game. But what's his name's over the mark, huh?
Yeah, both are, you know, Davis, after that 40-point game, now the second highest score in the NBA. Wow, what if Brow leads the league in scoring on top of everything else he's doing? He's at 26.3 a game now after that 40-point game. Bryant's at 26.7. He's only 0.4 behind Kobe now for top score in the NBA. I mean, that's...
Yeah, Kobe is on the way down, not up.
Brown is shooting 58% from the field.
No, it's so good.
It's so unfair, whoever has Brown. And I have him nowhere. And I was in the minority having him number one. And I still couldn't get him anywhere. I'm so bitter. I'm so bitter about that. This has been like, someone was talking about how they lucked out with a lot of my calls. And, you know, I hate to be the cliche guy that says they're happy with their calls. This might be the best year of my calls that I might ever have. Just a lot of things have gone right. But for all that to happen and to not have Brow is very, very frustrating.
We put a lot of time into it, though. Have you ever put that much time into your preseason?
No. But given this is only the second year that I've done ranks because I took over halfway through 2 years ago. So... It's definitely better than last year, so I guess that's all I really have to look at.
I got it. It's going to be Bosch. He's my boy.
That was one of my two picks, so I will go with my other one, my boyfriend, Paul Millsap.
Against a nay-nay list. Humphreys.
Yeah, against Humphreys.
And you're crossing your fingers they start Drew Gooden or something stupid?
I mean, Gooden's going to play minutes anyway. Might as well be when Millsap's hopefully out there, so... yeah, Millsap and Bosch were my two picks. So I figured if you picked one or the other, you know, Bosch is the 11th highest scorer right now. So he against Golden State, I think that would have been my number one pick, but Millsap was an easy second. So
yeah, I was trying to think what's going to happen in Sacramento with Gay out and possibly Collison. Is he back yet? I don't even know.
Yeah, he's still. Okay. Last I saw, he and Sessions both questionable. I mean, I thought about taking Jrue Holiday, but I don't even think he's put up a 30-point game this year. So I don't know. There's really.
I just mean after Cousins. Like Cousins has put up his 30 or 40, maybe. What about the other 50 points? Where's that coming from?
I don't know. Derek Williams.
Yeah, he's had those one game outbursts before.
Yeah, I don't think. I think it's all going to be spread up and down the lineup. You know, like Macklemore puts in 17. He was actually my other streamer call for tonight against, well, it looks like Evans might be picking him up now, but against kind of a ragtag group of shooting guard with Gordon out.
Yeah, I don't think, he's not going to get enough minutes to put up those points, though.
Yeah, I mean, he's not going to get 30, but that's what I'm saying. I think it's just going to be filtered in and out. All right, so let's go to the movie theaters tonight. Well, it's Tuesday, so it's not really Friday. But coming out this Friday, Horrible Bosses 2, which apparently is horrible. 23% on Rotten Tomatoes right now, which is very sad because I liked the first one. I thought it was funny.
I thought if this one was, you know, everyone hated it, it could still be better than the first.
You really didn't like the first one? I thought it was fun.
I was not impressed.
Yeah. I like seeing Colin Farrell in his role. And
the guy from Always Sunny, I'm really not a fan.
You're not a fan of him?
He definitely has a high-pitched squeak. No, that's not for me.
Definitely an acquired taste. Nothing else coming out this weekend is looking that
interesting. You got Sherlock Holmes playing in The Imitation Game with the guy who plays Sherlock Holmes, the BBC show.
Benedict Cumberbatch, there Oxford University. For any Key and Peele fans, they'll get that. Yeah, I mean, I like him. He's a great actor.
If good, then, you know, we'll see.
He's really funny, too. He was on Fallon, and he did a poetic reading of some R. Kelly lyrics in his very, very British kind of, like, sultry tone. It was really funny, so you should check that out. You haven't seen that?
That up.
Not a big surprise, but Hunger Games takes the box office with $122 million. I mean, kudos to that author. If you want to make money, try to come up with a young adult trilogy of books. That's how to make money these days.
Yeah, I don't think that's new news, though.
We should come up with some sort of fantasy basketball-related high school teens, and it gets so intense they start killing each other. No, that has no potential. I didn't even get a reaction. It must be a really bad idea.
I mean, if you've already written it, then no, it's a great idea. Otherwise, no.
Damn it! My four already done books. Time to throw them in the trash. So what have you seen this past week?
I mean, I finally watched Guardians of the Galaxy. I didn't watch it in theaters.
I need to see that, too.
It's entertaining, you know? I mean, it's the amount of money put into it is absurd. But, yeah, it was visually impressive.
That could have easily been a big flop. I'm frankly surprised how well it did.
You know, the soundtrack is phenomenal. All
right. Need to.
That really, really helps.
I like Chris.
Best soundtrack in a Marvel movie yet.
I like Chris Pratt, too. So that'll be one I check out. Any TV shows that are good these days?
Nothing strikes me. I'm kind of in that lull right now.
Yeah, I caught up on Walking Dead the past three or four episodes while I was writing last night.
I haven't watched I told you. Don't do it.
All of them are cured, and it's turned... Oh, it's turned into a soap opera.
Oh, it wasn't already?
Yeah, George Romero called it. When they asked him to, I don't know if you saw that, they asked him to direct an episode, and he said, well, it's pretty much a soap opera, so I'm not going to do it. It was pretty funny.
He is the man. I mean, I watched all his movies long before any of this zombie craze.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Have you ever seen Barton Fink, the early Coen Brothers movie?
No, I don't think so.
It's been one I've been meaning to watch and caught it on Netflix finally. It's pretty interesting. Early John Goodman movie about writing. I do a lot of writing, so this it's entertaining.
It's like paper and pencil.
Paper and typewriter.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say. I'm surprised paper still exists. Really,
that is kind of true, dude. Have you ever sat down and had to write something that was really long? Like
not in a long time.
Like write a really long note to someone, or like a letter, or anything like that. My hand hurt after like two sentences.
Yeah, that like cringe you make to hold your pencil or pen. If you don't make that, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, it's out of control. And like it feels weird to write more than just a couple words. It's crazy. World has changed even in my brief and young lifetime. So I think on that note, we should probably call it a day. Happy Thanksgiving to everyone out there. Thanks again for listening. And what's your number one Thanksgiving food, Pat?
Oh, yeah. See, there's a couple things I lay off of. That's really all it boils down to. I've never been a stuffing person.
What?
Yeah, I don't do stuffing.
Commie.
It's the consistency, really, you know? It's that mush.
Oh, that mush with the gravy on it? Right on top of your turkey?
So salty mush.
I'll eat tons of salty mush if it's good like that. Are you a normal white meat dude? I'm a dark meat guy.
Oh, no. I do the dark.
Ah, I love it. Once you go dark meat, you never go back.
Much more flavorful.
Yeah, I love it too. The fatty of it. So, looking forward to Thanksgiving. Have yourself an awesome one, man. And I'm looking forward to talking to you again next week and having another full week on the Razzball Basketball Podcast. You have a good one, man.
Sounds good. Take it easy.